let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The groundbreaking and thought-provoking work by Adrienne Emery, Personal Sovereignty, is a roadmap to find our way to a harmony, a peace, and prosperity that is aligned with the principles of life and not in conflict with the natural order of the universe. He says humanity stands at the crossroads and we must choose a new path. Adrienne is a best-selling author, entrepreneur, business owner, environmentalist, and gardener. He's devoted his life to creating a new philosophy called LifeWorks, based on understanding the laws, principles, and codes that make life work easily, effortlessly, and successfully. Adrienne Emery, author of Personal Sovereignty, The Temple of Understanding, Volume 1, joining us from Australia on This Week in America. Adrienne, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here and to talk to you. And I'm really looking forward to our interview. And I will be coming to America next week, to New York, to a book fair. So I'm really looking forward to meeting some lovely American people.
Well, we are ready for you and your message. And by the way, when you come to town, people can meet Adrienne in New York City. And of course, the book's available at Amazon Print on Demand. We'll go through that during the course of the program. And you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. So much to talk about, so little time. Let's start with the book, Personal Sovereignty. You say it's, P.S., the book, Personal Sovereignty, is the warrant of success. Talk about exactly what you mean by that.
Okay, the word warrant has two meanings. Obviously, in the legal definition, it means an authority or a permission or a right, and a warranty is a guarantee. So I am saying that personal sovereignty is a guarantee or an authority to become a successful human being, to live a successful life. But we need to redefine success because I believe we work backwards. We look at the external things that we have in our lives, our possessions, or our standing in society, rather than looking at who we are as people. And for me, to be successful means that I can create the life of my choosing, what I want. And honestly, I believe that a lot of people don't really know what they want, who they truly are. So when I say that personal sovereignty is the warrant of success, I mean it's a part of empowerment that will guarantee you to lead and live a successful life.
You have given us so much there to consider, and let's talk about being successful. Do we all have the ability to be a successful human being?
Yes, I believe one of the fundamental concepts that I've developed in my life and struggled with, like all of us do, is that I believe that inherently human beings are good at our core. We've been brought up to believe that there's something wrong with us or that we're flawed, regardless of the religion or the tradition that you're brought up in, that life is a struggle, and that, as you just mentioned, that it's almost like the belief that some people are born with a silver spoon in their mouth, or either because of privilege, or the. Whereas I'm saying that if you look at any natural being, let's forget about human beings for a while. You know, what's an unsuccessful plant? What's an unsuccessful animal in the wild? Maybe an animal that a human has mistreated. Whereas I believe that we've been brought up with this concept that, well, you know, inherently I'm flawed and I have to work at becoming successful. I'm saying that if we allow our natural inner being to shine and to come forth, then we will inherently be successful by just instinctively doing what feels right to us. But of course, that then brings up the concept, well, how do we know what is right? Because so much of our upbringing, tradition, religion, education is teaching us to look externally at, you know, a set of commandments or a dogma or a ritual or precepts that tell us what is right. I'm saying that we need to go within, to our heart, to our soul, regardless of what your beliefs and religion are, that's irrelevant in this conversation, that as a human being. So, for example, if we look at a child, it naturally learns to walk and talk and eat and do all the things to grow up to become a biologically successful being. I'm saying that emotionally, psychologically, and psychically, we possess those same powers to become a successful human being. So to answer your question shortly, I believe that success is a birthright of each and every single individual. And if you think about it, I mean, I might be wrong, but I think that's the cornerstone of what America was based on when it was,
exactly.
The Pilgrims and your Constitution is basically the inalienable rights of the human being. And, you know, what we all, meaning the non-Americans, what we look to America is that it's the land where you can go to and you can be successful through your own efforts, not because of, you know, where you were born or the strata of society that you were born into. If you put the effort in, regardless of whether you want to be an artist or an entrepreneur or wealth or whatever, you can create your own success. So, sorry, the quick answer to your question is yes. I believe that inherently, not only can we all be successful, but I believe that it's our duty, obligation, and it's a necessary part. So I am saying that to be spiritual is to be successful and vice versa.
Adrian Emery, our guest on This Week in America, author of the book Personal Sovereignty. The book's available at Amazon Print on Demand. We'll give you all that information. It, of course, is you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. When we're all looking to be successful, we think we have a plan in mind. We're following this plan that's laid out. And you said something a couple of minutes ago that I want to go back to, that we work backwards. Are we going about finding success the wrong way?
Yes. So we need to go into the concept of what I call be, do, have. So we look at our lives at what we have, what we possess, and those possessions don't necessarily have to be physical. It might be my reputation. It might be my career. It might be my standing, particularly in this age of social media. It's basically what do other people even think of me can be considered a possession. But I am saying that to be successful is not measured by an external quantity, but by who I am as an inner being. And for example, many, many, many successful, very, very externally successful people end up committing suicide or leading very, very unhappy lives. That to me is not being successful. So I don't measure success by externally, like let me look at personal. So am I successful because I might become a best-selling author and sell millions of copies? Or am I successful because I am happy in myself with the product that I have created? So I'm saying that we need to go back to be. Who am I as a being? Not looking at what I'm doing, not looking at what I'm having, because they will come naturally from my beingness. So being must come first.
To make decisions that are right for us, we have to know who we are. Talk about that, because I get the impression the more I think about this after reading it, I'm not sure that we know exactly who we are. We're sort of defined by other people, possibly.
Yes, we're defined by other people. And as I just mentioned, particularly in this age of social media and mass media, we are more and more. And that is one of the themes of personal sovereignty, that over the last few hundred years, but the evolution of humanity is about greater and greater freedom. So, for example, going back to America, we now have demographic freedom, religious freedom, economic freedom, geographic freedom. But inwardly, we have less and less freedom to be ourselves. We hear about cyberbullying, and I'm particularly concerned about, you know, the young people, people who are driven to commit suicide. But nearly all of us define ourselves by our upbringing and by what other people think of me. So, for example, if we look at Facebook and likes and how many followers do I have, do you know, Rick, that when they ask young children today what they want to be, most of them now say they want to be an influencer. And so the whole concept of being an influencer is that I have followers. I have somebody else to tell me what I should wear, what I should look like, who I should be. And I am saying once again, which is very similar to the last point I made, is that I need to be able to go within. I need to be able to listen to my inner truth and express that. To express that naturally will be successful. However, if I am imitating, if I'm following, if I'm listening. Now, for example, my mother always wanted me to be a doctor. I would have made a horrible doctor. I wouldn't make a good doctor. But if I had have listened to her and followed her path for me, but let's even say that I became a very, very successful surgeon, I would still not consider that to be personal success. If I was doing it because of her or because I just got stuck in that path. And maybe I might have been a frustrated author, for example. So it's very important to define positive and negative ambition. Even though you may be externally successful, if it's not what you really want to do because of who you are, then according to my definition, you're not really going to enjoy that success.
And in the book, Personal Sovereignty, the author, Adrian Emery, our guest in the program, you talk about the need to be clear and congruent to know what's right for you. Talk about that. How do we get to that state where we can make a decision for ourselves and know that what we made came from the right place and it has an excellent chance of working out for us?
Okay, so the concept of being congruent is incredibly important, following on from what we were just talking about. So in the book, I talk about what I call the corporate structure of consciousness. The human being, particularly our psyche, is one of the most complex and beautiful structures on the planet. And unfortunately, once again, we have defined ourselves erroneously and limited ourselves to our thinking, logical mind, our left hemisphere. Now, logic and rationality is incredibly important. We would not be able to have this conversation, for example, if we didn't coordinate times, particularly in different time zones, if we weren't using language, if we weren't using phones, etc. So to get from point A to B to go to work, you need to engage your logical mind. I'm not putting that logical mind down. But, for example, if you think of your right hand, most of us are right-handed, it's an incredibly important part of our being, but we don't confuse our right hand with the whole body. We don't think of ourselves as our right hand, even if I might be a master craftsman. But unfortunately, particularly over the last few hundred years, we've identified ourselves more and more with our ego, with our linear rational mind. So to be congruent, we need all the different parts of us, meaning our intuition, our gut feeling, our subconscious, our unconscious, all of those different disparate parts of us to be working together harmoniously and synergistically, like an orchestra, for example. If
right.
you put a whole bunch of musicians together and they're not playing from the same score and in harmony, you basically end up with noise. So if I want to manifest, if I want to create my own life, it's necessary that all the different parts of me are working towards the same goal. If I'm not congruent, it means that, well, maybe I want X, but maybe I want Y. I don't really know. I wish someone would help me make a decision here. Well, let's just see what happens. That is not being congruent, and that will not create success. So to be clear means I know what I want. I'm very clear about it. I'm very authentic. It comes from my gut. And all the different parts of me are working together to achieve that goal.
In the book, we're talking about is Personal Sovereignty. Adrian Emery is our guest, coming to us on the program from Australia. We'll be in the U.S. very shortly for a book tour and doing some promotion in the New York City area. The book's available at Amazon, other places. You can link onto our website and get all that information. In the book, you've got Discover the Seven Principles for Overcoming the Destructive Influence of the Negative Ego. And number one is overcoming self-doubt and anxiety. Indecision that creeps into, you know, suddenly we make a decision and then we're spending the next couple of days second-guessing ourselves. How do we get to the point where we make a decision and we're comfortable with it and then we execute it?
That's a very good question, Rick. And that follows on really well from what I was just saying, is that that's exactly what we do.
Yes.
So, for example, let's say I got to make a choice between X and Y. Now, that might be as a bigger decision as a career or a life partner. It may even be just ordering something off a menu in a restaurant. And what happens, and it happens to all of us, is we make that decision, then all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe I really want to, you know, Y instead of X. And that's what I'm saying. So I'm no longer congruent. I'm sending out two parts of it. And self-doubt is incredibly important because it's pernicious, it comes up, and it debilitates us and lames our ability, as you just said, to achieve. Because there's three parts to this. First of all is to make a choice. Okay, I've got to choose between A and B. I then need to make a decision, which means I've executed that choice, which is fine. But then I need to bring that choice into reality, which means I need to be steadfast, I need to persevere, I need to go on that path, and I need to do whatever I need to do if I want to become, you know, successful as an author. I need to talk to you, I need to come to America, I need to do things. And if I'm suffering from self-doubt, then it destroys my authenticity, my congruence. I won't, people listening to me won't, now, for example, we've got an election on, as many people might know right now in America, in Australia, and our two leaders, which I won't go into, one of them is very congruent, full of self-confidence, and the other one comes through as having self-doubt. So for me, self-doubt is the biggest problem. It is the Achilles heel that stops us from, as I mentioned before, being successful, which means creating the life that I want. Now, self-doubt comes from this feeling, which once again, we all have, that I am not good enough. There is something wrong with me. In other words, I have to strive to become something that I am not yet. I'm saying if we stop that striving, if we turn around and accept who we are, now this does not mean that we're complacent or that we're perfect, or that we've finished our journey, quite to the contrary, but it does mean that I need to accept myself as I am. I need to acknowledge who I am, both positive and negative, warts and all, and work on becoming a better human being. But that's different to having self-doubt, because self-doubt implies I don't know if I can be successful. Going back to the very beginning, I can't be successful if I believe there's something wrong with me. So self-doubt is a manifestation of this feeling, I am not good enough. I am saying there is nothing wrong with me. Now, if we look at a newborn babe, and we all love infants, we all love babies, and the reason that we do is because of their purity and their innocence. They are just there, they're spontaneous. And as I mentioned before, they learn to walk, they learn to talk, they learn to do everything. We can't really teach them. We can only facilitate, but it happens. You know, it happens naturally. Yes. They strive, they stand up, they fall down, they keep going. And it's a natural process because there is no doubt. Self-doubt only comes in when the negative ego starts to take a hold. And unfortunately, this does come about because of upbringing, and it's something that, I'm not saying it's easy. It's something that we need to learn to bring our children up. And the big difference is where we don't say you are a bad boy or you're a bad girl, but that behavior is not appropriate. So we're not making the person wrong. We're making it very clear that that particular behavior may not be appropriate right now in this place. So self-doubt comes from not being good enough. And I am saying that intrinsically, at our core, we are good enough.
The time is going by way too quickly. The book is Personal Sovereignty, The Temple of Understanding, Volume 1. Adrian Emery, our guest on the program. We talk about success. He redefines success in several different areas. Happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's all in the book. Something I mentioned in the beginning, and I really want to have time to talk about this. You say that humanity is at a pivotal point in this evolutionary journey. Talk about that, because that's a pretty stark warning that this is a time for us. We have to make some decisions here.
Well, coming back to the definition of success, I am saying that if we look at us, humanity, collectively, as a body, as a species, or if we look at humanity as an individual, you, Rick, or me, Adrian, I am saying that right now we are not successful. I think it's pretty obvious if we look at our relationship with the planet. If we look at, and I'd like to talk a little bit about that,
yes,
which is that evolution, to me, okay, I need to go back to the beginning of my journey, which was I've always been a student of life. As a very young child, I wanted to learn how life works. I thought, you know, we learn all about this stuff all through our upbringing, but we've never attended a course called Life 101. How does life work? Going back to the very beginning, how does one become successful? So the real question is, what is the definition of success? And as a species, and now we all know because of Darwin and evolution, that evolution moves on. Species come, species go. What a lot of people may not know is that we are actually the seventh species of the genus Homo. Homo sapiens is the seventh. We all know that species die out. There was a report released only this week from the United Nations saying that 1 million species are facing extinction. Now, I am saying that if humanity doesn't change, if we don't address some of these concepts, and all I want to do, Rick, is create a conversation. I'm not saying I've got all the answers. I'm not saying I'm right. I guess I'm a bit like Donald Trump, just saying there are certain things we need to look at and have a conversation about. Might be a little bit uncomfortable, but let's at least talk about it. So to come back to your question, I believe that we are at the crossroads. From my learning and understanding, even though looking back historically, evolution seems to move gradually, from what I can understand, and supposedly the dinosaurs disappeared in an afternoon, evolution goes in jumps. You know, how did the first sea creature get out onto land? How did the first bird fly, etc.? There are these quantum leaps in consciousness. If we look at our relationship with the planet, if we look at our relationship with each other, if we look at our relationship with ourselves, meaning the suicides, the homelessness, particularly in America and other places, which, you know, are very affluent countries, we are not really a successful species. So we need to look at that. We need to address that, and we need to fundamentally change at our core. There is no point, from my perspective, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. And I'm not saying that, going back a minute ago, I'm not saying that we're bad. I'm not saying that we're flawed. I'm not saying that we're wrong. I'm just saying that we need to change our direction, and we need a reboot. Now, we all know viruses in our computers. We all know about viruses in our body, and they create havoc with that system. I'm saying that we have a virus in the way we think, and that virus is how we define ourselves as humanity and as individuals, human beings. We need to look at that. We need to redefine ourselves, a bit like an identity crisis. If a person who might get to 40 or 50, a mid-age crisis, and all of a sudden realize, this is not the life I want to live. I need to really look at that and change my direction. There was a very interesting interview in Australia the other night with Herbie Hancock, a very famous musician,
who said,
you know, that he did that. He was an addict, and all of a sudden he sat down, he looked at it, and he realized he had to change direction. As I mentioned before, there are a lot of very, very famous people who haven't done that and have ended up overdosing or committing suicide. So we all go through this process. I'm saying we need to go through this process as a body of humanity. It's not about global warming. It's about global warning. The globe, the planet, Gaia, Earth, whatever you want to call it, is warning us. Now, we human beings live within a very, very narrow band of an ecosystem or an area with, in other words, the temperature can't go too high or too low. It can't. All countries are now experiencing severe changes in weather patterns. If we don't have that stability, then our survival is threatened. So what I'm saying is we really need to look at this and start to live more harmoniously with the natural order of life. But even if we don't look at the planet, even if we look at us as individuals, the rate of suicide, the rate of drug dependency, the rate of codependency, the rate of unhappiness and homelessness are all symptoms saying to us something is wrong, something is not working. We live in the most technologically advanced society that has ever existed on the planet, yet we're not really happy. So we got to go, why not? You know, something yes. For me is not working.
Well, and you can get, this is such a thought-provoking book. It's an excellent read. It's Personal Sovereignty, The Temple of Understanding, Volume 1, Adrian Emery, that's E-M-E-R-Y. If you're going to Google it, the book's available, print on demand, available at Amazon. You can link onto our website, This Week in America, to get more information. This has really been an enlightening conversation. Time went by way too quickly. Adrian, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on the program. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to do it again. I've got about 4 hours more worth of questions here to talk about, and hopefully we'll have a chance to jump in once again. Thank you very much for being with us on the program.
Thank you very much, Rick, and a pleasure to talk to you and to your listeners, and I wish them all very well in their own personal journey. Thank you.
Well, you will help us on that journey by picking up a copy of Adrian's book, It's Personal Sovereignty, The Temple of Understanding, Volume 1. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.